Israel has been in the news a lot lately. Throughout history, this tiny nation has been at the heart of many conflicts. But it's also the place where the Prince of Peace was born, where he lived, where he was crucified, and where he rose from the dead.
On the third day, they went to the tomb, and an angel was sitting there and said, "He is not here, he is risen. Christ is alive, and I'm not preaching to you tonight a dead Christ hanging on a cross. I'm preaching to you a living Christ."
Who is this living Jesus Christ? And what difference can he make in your life today? You're about to find out. Happy Easter. I'm Jim Kirkland. Welcome to the Billy Graham Radio Special. Who is Jesus Christ? In addition to a timeless message from Billy Graham, you're also going to hear from his son, Franklin Graham. Franklin has been to Israel, delivering supplies and ministering to those who have been displaced by the conflict there.
This year, the world is facing so many trials and tribulations, and Easter represents hope.
You'll be hearing a lot about that hope in this program, both from Franklin Graham and his father. You can also discover more about the hope of Jesus Christ as you desire. Just simply pick up your phone and call the 24-hour Billy Graham prayer line. The number is 855-255-PRAY. That's 855-255-7729. You can also go online to our website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. And the number once again for our 24-hour prayer line is 855-255-PRAY. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the greatest event in the world's history. It's also why we celebrate Easter, and it's why we can have an unshakable hope in the future, regardless of what happens now or between now and then. But why is that? Who is Jesus Christ that his resurrection matters that much? Let's find out together as we begin listening to Billy Graham's message, Who is Jesus Christ? It's from his 1991 outreach in East Rutherford, New Jersey, just across the Hudson River from New York City.
Tonight, I want us to turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. The 16th chapter and the 15th verse. I'll just take time to read one verse. It's a question that Jesus is asking his disciples. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" Who do people say that I am? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Why, after 2,000 years, do millions of people worship him? And this is an important question for every one of you to get a proper answer, because where you are 100 years from tonight will hang on that question. Who is Jesus Christ? What does the Bible claim about him? The Bible tells us the story of Jesus. The Bible claims, first of all, that he's the creative Christ. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You mean to tell me that Jesus Christ made this whole universe? Yes. We're told that there are billions of galaxies. And then you can look at the world through a microscope and see all the insects and all the bugs and all the other little things that creep and crawl. He made them all. All the living creatures in the sea, including the white shark, he made them. The mountains, the continents, the seas, the heavens, and every moving and living thing, he made it all. Jesus was the creative Christ. He created the universe. Then secondly, he's the compassionate Christ. The scripture says he went about doing good. He made the blind to see and the mute to speak and the deaf to hear. He touched and cleansed the lepers. We are living in a world that hurts. You walk up and down some of the streets in New York City or over here in New Jersey and you see hurting people everywhere. There are tens of thousands of people that hurt in America tonight. And compassion is a word that is often used and misused because we don't know the meaning of the word. The literal meaning of the word compassion means that you suffer with the person. You get involved with the person that's suffering. That's what Jesus did. And there are many people that are hungry and many people that are homeless, many people that are suffering from injustice. And often so-called compassion does not reach to actual involvement with those in need. Compassion means that we identify and we contribute when possible to them. There are physical diseases that Jesus is interested in. He had compassion on the hungry, the leper, the blind man. There are psychological diseases, the disease of guilt, loneliness, fear, emptiness, fear of death, despair. All of these we read about in our papers and watch on our TV screens every day, and they're problems that Jesus Christ could solve if we'll open our hearts to Him and surrender to Him. Oh yes, most of us here tonight go to church. I would say that most of you are members of a church somewhere. You've been baptized or you've been confirmed or whatever it may mean. But you really haven't surrendered totally to Christ to let Him have all of you and surrender your life completely to Him and follow Him and serve Him. Then there's spiritual disease. Nicodemus, in the third chapter of John, was a religious leader. He was a great theologian. He was a wealthy man. He had great religion. Everybody respected his theological knowledge and respected the fact that he was religious. But when he talked to Jesus, Jesus said, "Nicodemus, that's not enough. You must be born from above." Have you been born from above? That means the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and gives you a new heart and a new direction in your life, and you surrender completely to Him, and He guides you and leads you every day in your everyday problems and your work. Today, Jesus Christ motivates all believers to help the starving and the hungry. Jesus wants us to teach people to read and write, to counsel the depressed, the suicidal, drug users, people with AIDS. There are social responsibilities that no true believer can escape. We should be involved. We ought to be in the front of some of these issues. I look on our world of need. Everywhere I look, I see need. We walked up and down some of the streets of New York City last week, and we would see people asleep on the sidewalk. We would see people hungry. We would see people in all kinds of conditions, and we traveled throughout, and my heart bled, and it was broken. And I said, "What can I do? These problems are too great for me." I feel a helplessness as I look on the world scene today. How can I cope with it? What more can I do? Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." If we turn it over to Christ and trust Him and live like we're supposed to live, we could solve these problems. Amen. But you know, when He left the scene of this suffering world, He had not healed all the people. Have you ever thought about that? He could have, but He didn't do it. He hadn't fed everybody that was hungry. He said, "I have finished the work which my Father gave me to do. I have finished it." And I feel that way. There's going to come a time when I'm going to finish the work that God has assigned to me as an evangelist. And I'm going to die with a peace and a joy in my heart that I have tried to be faithful to Him.
Billy Graham did die with that peace and joy in February of 2018. You're going to hear the rest of his message, "Who is Jesus Christ?" It'll be coming in just a moment. In the meantime, if you would like to know more about beginning a relationship with Jesus, please call us at the Billy Graham Prayer Line, 855-255-PRAY. 855-255-7729. Someone is ready to take your call and pray with you right now. And somebody will be there 24 hours a day. The number again, 855-255-PRAY. Now, if you'd rather learn more online about trusting your life to Jesus, visit us at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net.
Blessed Easter, each and every one. He is risen, and He's risen indeed.
Franklin Graham made the decision to trust his life to Jesus Christ at the age of 22 in a hotel room in Jerusalem. Now, since that night 50 years ago, Franklin Graham has been back to Israel a number of times, including a trip he made after the deadly Hamas attack on Israel last October.
We had staff on the ground looking for ways that we could help. We're beginning to work here just a few days. At one point, up to 500,000 of the Jewish people were displaced. They had to be evacuated from the territories next to Gaza and Syria and Lebanon. And so they had to pull them back away from the border. And so they put them in hotels, and many thousands are still there to this day.
Franklin led efforts to determine ways to help the people who were inside those hotels. Those efforts included providing food vouchers and food boxes. And as Franklin says, just trying to help wherever we could.
And then, of course, we have heard that the ambulances were destroyed, 14 ambulances. And since then, 19 of their ambulance personnel have been killed by the fighting. And I thought to myself how important it is to replace those ambulances and how important it is for the ambulances here in Israel to be able to respond immediately when there's a crisis. You can't wait a few days or a week. You have to be there within minutes. And when they lost that many ambulances, I thought to myself, you know, let's just replace those. And with God's help, we've been able to do that. And we thank everyone who has given and has prayed for Israel, has made it possible for these ambulances.
You'll hear more from Franklin Graham a little later in the program. Right now, let's get back to his father's message. Billy Graham is exploring the question, who is Jesus Christ?
He's not only the creative Christ and the compassionate Christ, but he's the crucified Christ. No one living today can imagine what that scene was 2,000 years ago. But death by crucifixion was a lingering death. It took many hours or many days to die. There was the crowd outside of Jerusalem shouting and screaming and scoffing, hurling their insults. They took a crown of thorns and put it on Jesus' brow. They pulled his beard till his face bled. They put spikes in his hands and a spear in his side and spiked through his feet and hung him on that cross between heaven and earth. And he said this. He said, "Do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels?" 72,000 angels would have come to rescue him. Only one angel killed 185,000 in one of the stories of the Old Testament. He didn't leave the cross. If he'd have left the cross as they wanted him to do, as the people wanted him to do, they said, "Use your supernatural powers and come down from the cross." And he said, "No." He didn't need to stay there. He had never sinned. He died in your place. He took your sin and my sin. All the suffering, shame, disgrace, dishonor, and death that we deserved, he bore for us. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we're under the sentence of death, physical death and spiritual death. We're going to face the judgment. There is a judgment day coming, and we're going to have to stand face to face with God and give an account of how we lived here and what we did about Christ. But Jesus took it on the cross and shed his blood for us. The scripture says he was made a curse. He was made sin for us, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became sin. Think of it. Jesus Christ, this pure, this wonderful, the greatest person that ever lived, the holiest person that ever lived, the Son of the living God, became sin. He had never known sin. And he became guilty at that moment of adultery. He became guilty of lying, of idolatry. He became guilty of every ugly, dirty thing you can think of. Because it was your sins poured out on him. And because of the cross, God offers forgiveness, justification, peace, joy, a new nature, eternal life, the Holy Spirit to help you live every day, and eternal glory. When you die, you go to heaven, and you can know it before you leave here. He's not only the crucified Christ, he's the conquering Christ. He rose from the dead. He didn't stay in the grave. I remember the first time I toured the Soviet Union to preach. I had with me the man that is now the dean of the theological school in Leningrad for the Orthodox Church. And his name is Father Sorokin. And as we were going to the airport, I said to him, I said, Vladimir, I said, you've been hearing me preach all these days and weeks here in your churches. I said, do you have any suggestions? He said, yes. And I listened very carefully because he was a brilliant theologian. He said, emphasize the resurrection more. He said, if Christ is not raised from the dead, the cross has no meaning. And I never forgot that. On the third day, they went to the tomb, and an angel was sitting there and said, he is not here, he is risen. Jesus himself said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And his resurrection is mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. Christ is alive, and I'm not preaching to you tonight a dead Christ hanging on a cross. I'm preaching to you a living Christ. And he is the one that can come into your heart. And then fifthly, he's the contemporary Christ. That Christ is living in the world today, and he's changing lives. I think about a man in Little Rock, Arkansas. We were talking about him yesterday. When we went to Little Rock 2 years ago, he was one of the roughest, toughest, meanest men in town, I was told. They said he shoved the governor. He was an activist of the first order. He would do anything. He edited a newspaper, and he used all kinds of language to describe his feelings. And one night he asked if he could see me. I said, of course, and he came in to see me. And he asked me to pray for him, and I prayed for him. And he received Christ into his heart very much like a little child. And he's now become a person who preaches the gospel. Absolutely changed and transformed, and people that he used to dislike, he now loves. And he's one of the most popular men in that part of the country to proclaim the gospel and to give his testimony. Then there's the coming Christ. Jesus said, I will come again. In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. I have more people ask me, do I think we're approaching the end of the age? And I tell them that Jesus said that we're not to speculate on the time or the date nor the hour. But he said you're to look for signs. And if those signs are converging at one point, he said, my coming draws nigh. And it seems to me that we're drawing close to that time when Christ is going to come and his kingdom is going to rule. The kingdom of God is going to come, and we're going to know peace. Now, what does God require you to do? God gave his son, Jesus Christ, because he loved you. God's interested in you. He has every hair of your head numbered. He sees the sparrow fall. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. First, you must do two or three things. First, you must repent of your sins. The first sermon Jesus ever preached was, repent ye. The Apostle Peter said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins be blotted out. What does repentance mean? Repentance means that you come to God and say, God, I'm sorry I've sinned. I've sinned against you. I've broken your laws. And sin means that you have broken the Ten Commandments. And if you break one of those Ten Commandments, you've broken them all. If you've ever told a lie, you've broken all the Ten Commandments. If you've ever had lust in your heart, you've broken all the Ten Commandments. And we're all guilty. Every one of us, everyone that's ever been born is guilty, except Jesus himself. And then the scripture says, God commands all men everywhere to repent. God commands you to repent. Have you repented? Are you sure of it? It means that you not only say, God, I'm sorry, it means that you ask Him to help you to turn from your sins, to change your way of living, to get rid of those old habits you shouldn't have. And He'll help you to get rid of them. But you have to ask Him to do it. And then you must come by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The word faith means that you totally trust. When I stepped on this platform tonight, I'd never been on it before. But I had faith to believe it would hold a person. It was built to hold a man. The scripture says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The scripture says in Romans 4, to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I have to have righteousness to get into heaven, and I don't have any. Billy Graham is a sinner. I don't have any righteousness of my own. I come in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting totally and fully in Him. Then the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If you can work your way to heaven, you'd get up to heaven and boast to everybody. Look what I did. I was such a good person. I got here on my own. You get there totally because of Christ. Now, what does that mean? That means that tonight, on this night, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. I don't believe that anyone is here by accident tonight. I think you're here in the providence of God. Somebody brought you, somebody prayed for you to be here, or you just came on your own, but you've never really totally committed yourself to Christ. You may be a member of the church, you may not be a member of the church. You might have been baptized, or you might not have been. You may be confirmed, but you need to make sure of your relationship to Christ.
A relationship with Christ. That's possible because of what we celebrate at Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, says the resurrection of Jesus offers you a life-changing hope that nothing else can.
This year, the world is facing so many trials and tribulations, and Easter represents hope. And for many, there's not much hope out there, but it's hope for each and every one. And that hope is in God, that God loves us, that He's provided a way for us to be with Him in heaven, and that's through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ.
If right now you're ready to put your faith in Jesus Christ to begin a personal relationship with God's Son, please call the Billy Graham Prayer Line. The number is 855-255-PRAY. That's 855-255-7729. Someone's there, ready to talk with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The number again, 855-255-PRAY. You can also learn more about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ at our website, findpeacewithgod.net. And if you're already a follower of Christ, that same website has resources that can help you grow deeper in your faith. The address again, findpeacewithgod.net. The message you heard on this Billy Graham radio special is one of hundreds you can listen to online for free. Just go to billygrahamradio.org and look for the audio archives. Once you're there, search for the message, Who is Jesus Christ? From Mr. Graham's 1991 outreach in East Rutherford, New Jersey. That's billygrahamradio.org. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association continues its work of telling people around the world who Jesus Christ is and inviting them to begin a relationship with Him. You can keep up to date with everything the ministry is doing simply by following us on Facebook. We hope you're enjoying a very blessed Easter, and we're grateful that you made Who is Jesus Christ part of your celebration. This Billy Graham radio special is a production of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.